You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
And welcome to the KMC podcast. It's good to be back with this episode. This is going to be a lot of fun. If you really want to have fun, go watch the video on the YouTube channel because there's three clowns on video. No, just kidding. Today we're talking about something that I think is a lot of fun. It's one of the things I love to talk about is when we're thinking about the high video, high tech world. There's a lot of people in kid ministry that have walked away and forgotten about performance arts. Things like juggling, illusions, object lessons, characters. And they've forgotten just how powerful they are. Or maybe they're just intimidated by those kind of arts. And so today we're going to be talking about with two guys who love to use these kind of things in their ministries and have helped other people do that. And so today it's my honor on the KMC to have Jared Massey and Jamie Doyle to be on the show to talk about performance arts and just how we can use them to connect God's truth to the hearts of kids. So welcome, fellas, to the KMC. It's good to have you both back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, fellas. Well, Jared, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're serving, what you do, that kind of thing.
Sure. Brief introduction. I serve in a small rural church in Illinois, and I've been there over 9 years now. So I've been planted in one place for most of my full-time ministry career, and I love it here. I went to Bible college to learn children's ministry, but I've been involved in some way since I was 12. And one of the first things I learned to do was juggle. And I just, ever since I learned to juggle and I felt God calling me to work with children, I've fallen in love with performance arts. I remember getting my first, it's called a stripper deck, and it's not inappropriate. If you know anything about illusions, you know it. It's not nudie ladies on it. But I got my first stripper deck and I went to school and I performed all day long and no one could figure out the trick. And so those two events in my life, learning to juggle and my first experience with a trick I could do, repeat, it just shaped the way I do ministry to this day. And those are two of the things I still to this day love to do, is just juggling and illusions. So that's the quick rundown.
Cool. Jamie, how about you?
Well, I'm currently the children's pastor at a church in Lafayette, Indiana, and I've only been here for like 8 months now, 9 months, something like that. So we're really enjoying our time here, and it's kind of fun because for the last few years in this setting, probably I would say even the last 6-7 years, kids here, you know, they have not been exposed to sort of that performance art style presentation. It's not that the past children's ministry leaders were against it. They just didn't know how to do those things. And so, which is good. We're talking about this here and now. So I've been serving here for a short time. I've served in a couple of other settings. And kind of an interesting thing, Jared and I have a similar story in that I got saved as a young kid at the age of 10. One of the first things I learned to do was to juggle. And but some of the guys, you guys would know this name, and some people listening would know the name Dick Gruber. Mm-hmm. And he was the children's evangelist that I got saved at his presentation. Wow. And as a kid, I said, you know, someday I'm going to do what that guy does. I'm going to use the puppets and the funny characters and the object lessons and the different things that he was using. I'm going to use those things to do the same thing because kids need to know this message. And so that's kind of a real quick kind of a biography on myself.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's interesting that all of us, including myself, that's kind of how I got involved in doing stuff is I think I was 10 years old and went to a Sunday school convention in Detroit, Michigan. And you guys will know the name and others may know the name. But it used to be called One Way Street, and the Von Sagans, Dale and Liz, were presenting a workshop on puppetry, And when I saw Liz come out with Taffy, the duck, I was like, oh, I want to do that. Now, I never got into ventriloquism, but I fell in love with using puppets, and I bought my first puppet from them. It was a frog that was a wraparound, and I started in our Bible club teaching Bible verses with my frog puppet. And then I came across some magicians, and I got my first exposure to magic and using illusions. And my mom and I actually went down to a Fellowship of Christian Magicians convention in Winona Lake, Indiana. And I was sitting outside the auditorium on the very first morning, and a guy named Doc Haley, who I didn't know at the time was Doc Haley, came up and asked me my name and what I was doing. And he told me that, you know, he was going to have a great week and everything, and said, well, do you know any magic tricks yet? And I said, no, sir, that's why I'm here, because I want to learn. And he showed me a very first trick called the King of Hearts. Mm-hmm. And he showed me that, and I was just like, wow, that is so cool. I was blown away. And then he handed it to me and said, here, have this.
Oh, cool.
Let this be your first one. And at the time, I had no clue just how special that was. I actually used that trick so much that I wore it out. And now I regret, because Doc Haley is such a legend in the Christian magician circle. I kind of regret not shelving that one and buying a different one. But I'm sure he'd be happy to know that I wore that thing out. And that's how I fell in love with gospel magic. So, but anyway, all right, fellas, well, let's dive in, because we've got a lot to talk about. And with this whole idea of performance arts, I'd love to know from each of you guys, and we're just kind of do this virtual round table deal. And we're just going to three guys sitting around the table talking about performance arts. So I'm going to ask you guys, why would you recommend using performance arts to share the word today? Jamie, let's kick it off with you.
Well, I think it's effective because it's interesting. Kids like to see it. They enjoy seeing a live presentation. They're just not confronted with that a lot in life. And so when they come into church, the last thing that I want is for kids to feel like they're back at school for the day or for the morning. So that doesn't mean that we throw teaching out the window. We're looking for ways to kind of have a really good marriage of the method and the message so that they work together, and we're able to teach kids in effective ways. They're having so much fun, they don't realize that they're learning. So it's an effective thing. And kids like to see adults pretending and having fun. And kids want to be involved and engaged with adults who are pretending and having fun in a presentation sort of a setting. And so I think that you can use these kinds of methods, no matter what it is, any of the things that have been mentioned: illusion, object lessons, juggling, science experiments, you name it, any of those presentation types of methods, kids, you can swing those to help kids learn the Word of God.
And I think, you know, especially today, there's a novelty element. You know, years ago, when the variety show was more popular, cable TV was a much smaller monster than it is now, and the variety show was a popular thing, and stage shows, I live not terribly far, by that I mean like six hours or so from Branson, and there were a lot of variety shows in Branson, Missouri, and those things were really popular for an era, but they've really kind of dwindled in popularity, and so that means those type of performance elements now are real novelties, because they really, outside of an occasional act on like America's Got Talent, kids aren't exposed to some of these methods. And so when they see someone using one of those methods to teach or even just for fun, it's intriguing because it's different from the norm. And so I think it's especially effective in a media-driven society because it's so uncommon. And even, you know, I have tons of conversations with children's leaders all over the country, and I'm finding fewer and fewer and fewer who actually incorporate those methods. So even in children's ministry, where that used to be, if you were a children's pastor, you juggled. If you were a pastor's wife, you played piano. I mean, there were some very common stereotypes. And nowadays, even those things have really diminished. And so even among children's ministers, you're finding it's a novelty to incorporate illusions and juggling. So I think that's part of why it's so successful. Plus, one illusion can teach 10 different Bible stories. So it's a great way to teach creatively without having to break the bank at all the time. So
that's good stuff. Well, let me ask you guys this. So why do you think kids pastors have set some of this stuff aside? Why have they been, you know, because a lot of people just don't, you know, they'll default to videos, or just traditional storytelling versus using, you know, objects or drama or puppets or whatever. I mean, why do you think they, you know, this hasn't picked up as much?
I think there's two reasons. First of all, I just think it's people believing the myth that kids aren't interested in that stuff anymore. And so I think that's one of the big reasons is we kind of heard, well, kids don't really, they don't get interested by that because of the culture. And I don't remember what the second reason was. So I'll throw it to Jamie. Maybe he has it. Maybe he was thinking it.
Well, I came up with four things that I think are crucial. And first of all, let me just add to what Jared is saying. You think about, aside from my four reasons, you think about on America's Got Talent, who were the most popular finalists? They were the magicians and the ventriloquists.
Right, right.
And so just people that say kids don't like puppets anymore, that's neither here nor there. Kids love that stuff when it's done really, really well. And kids are going to love it when you, as their leader and their teacher, take the time to do that stuff for them because it's unique, it's different. And again, like I said, kids love to see adults pretending and playing and having fun at the same time.
That was my second reason. I'm just saying that so I remember to come back to it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So a couple of reasons. Number one, I think that our Bible colleges are not teaching these things anymore. I went to a Bible college where that's what we prided ourselves on. In children's ministries, we were learning, you would take the courses so you could learn how to do puppets and learn how to do creative storytelling, and learn how to prepare a children's lesson so that you could incorporate all those methods or a few of those methods effectively into a kid's service. I think another reason is that performance and variety arts are not being offered in the public school like they once were. And, you know, when I was a kid, again, this is a long time ago, but when I was a kid, we were regularly having entertainers come to our school for school assemblies. And it had nothing to do with some kind of educational character building thing, stay off of drugs. It was just to simply expose students to the arts. We had dancers and magicians and theater groups and marionette. I remember this huge marionette thing that came to our school when I was a kid. So kids were very interested in that. We just don't have that. You don't have the programs funded like you used to, whether it's theater or music, band, orchestra, and schools are not funding those clubs extracurricular like they used to. So I said something about being in Bible college. I know of a Bible college where that was something they were doing a lot of. The leadership changed over, and recently that person that took over went into the supply closet and throughout the puppets and throughout the visual aids and throughout the full body costumes and the backdrop and said, these things are irrelevant. Kids don't want them anymore. I think we live in an instant gratification society. So people are not willing to put the patience into learning some of these skills anymore. And the last reason I think goes along with that. And is that people are afraid because they can't learn it. They're afraid that they're just going to fail. The kids aren't going to like it. And they want to maintain that, you know, that cool status, that cool factor in front of their kids. And I found that kids don't measure your coolness by how you dress or how successful you are. They measure it in the fact that you show them that you love them.
Yeah. it's Jamie, you mentioned about the, you know, connecting with kids and all that and the cool factor. And that was the other thing that I forgot earlier, but there was, and I watched this, I was just coming into children's ministry when this shift, I believe, was really starting to take place. And so even when I was in Bible college, we were still, and I'm not sure, maybe Jamie, we might've gone to the same school, but, when there was this big push for the creative arts from the kind of the old teachers, but then the new teachers were coming in and moving some of that stuff out and moving towards more philosophy and things, which that has its place. But one of the words one of the phrases I started to hear a lot is that in children's ministry, you don't need to be goofy to be good to be a children's pastor. And in fact, there was this, if you were a goofy children's pastor, you were the bad guy. They didn't want to associate with the goofy children's leader. And if you go to specifically certain conferences, you'll find that it's almost a stigma, like there's the goofy guy. We don't want to hang out with him. We don't want to be associated with him. And that's right. Not everywhere. And I understand the heart of that. The heart of that is, as children's leaders, we do have a responsibility to engage parents. And a lot of parents don't want to have a real conversation with the guy who's got a clown nose on and funny teeth in. And so there is a balance, though. And rather than teaching balance and saying, hey, you need to know how to be goofy when it's time to be goofy and serious when it's time to be serious, we just said, well, you can't do both, so let's throw out the goofy and let's be cool like youth pastors. Well, I'm sorry.
Did I laugh out loud on that one?
Well, and I've heard those words. And that's what fires me up, is I've heard those things said. And as a guy who does both, I've recognized that tension in my own life. Like, I want to be cool, but the most effective ways I connect with kids, sometimes I just have to be willing to not be cool. Sometimes I have to be willing to have fun and know how to play. And honestly, I think that that's wired into me. And I think that's why God gifted me with that, to be effective as a children's leader. And so to throw that out and say, well, I've got to be a leader of leaders, and I've, again, not a bad thing in and of itself, but when we throw out God's giftings of play and imagination and goofiness, and a lot of characters, clowning, even juggling and illusions, there's an element of goofiness that helps amplify those. And so I think that's big part of why we see fewer and fewer leaders using those elements, because they associate that with that same mindset and they feel like that's an old way of doing it. But kids, let's face it, I know kids have changed, but kids are still kids. And the most effective way to reach kids is imagination and play and the joy of a child. So Tom, you've been in children's ministry for a while.
Oh, he's saying what? I'm old. Here it goes.
No, I'm not, but you have experience, and that's valuable. What do you think? Have you seen that transition, reasons behind the transition?
I was going to say, the one thing, you know, you guys hit it on, but I'll take it and challenge anybody who's associated with conferences, because it's not being taught at conferences. It used to be that I would go to a children's ministry conference to restock a lot of my supplies. Now, I go to children's conferences and there's no performing arts there.
Right.
I don't see many places even doing object lesson workshops anymore. And so I think that's a huge, huge thing, is that it's not being taught where the children's ministry people gather. So if it's not being taught in the schools, and it's not being taught at the conferences, you know, and we're going to hit on this at the end of our conversation, is where can somebody go to learn, what groups are out there, and how can somebody learn? But I would challenge, if you are associated with a conference, pull an element of performers in, make it possible. These guys don't have money. They can't afford to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for booths. So let them come for free and equip the body to do some of these things, because I'd love to see a resurgence in some of this. I think there has been a stigma, but I find it funny that, you know, youth pastors can walk around in their flip flops and skinny jeans and faux hawks, or man buns and think they're not being clownish. Oh, sorry.
So, I was just making sure mine was gone.
So you will never see this guy with a man bun or skinny jeans.
Not here either.
That's just not godly.
I'm goofy, but not that goofy.
You know, some things are not profitable.
Can I just say, for those of you listening, Jared would know this because we bumped into each other there, but I'd like to say just kudos to the Assemblies of God conference they recently did. They came to just like – this will just show you, though, Tom, to illustrate your point. They came to about a week before the conference, and they were starting to get people saying, you don't have anything that's like methodology, so we want to learn how to do these things. And that was one of the reasons I was asked to do an extra workshop on gospel magic, because they said, we need this. We don't have anybody doing these kinds of things. So kudos to them for recognizing.
Amen. And saying,
let's add something. They added some things with juggling, with clowning, with gospel magic myself, and at least one or two others that did some more visual type teaching things. But you're right. We're not seeing that at conferences like we used to.
Yeah. So I think if we're gonna see a resurgence, I think that's an area where, like I say, where people gather. So yeah, kudos to them. I didn't know that. Makes me jealous. I guess I need to convert over to the AG. Because that's where all the fun is. I mean, you guys are there and I'm not. So, you know, I always said I'm a little Baptist-costal. So does that work?
Come on in. We take them.
Sounds good to me, man.
I think that's part of the problem is that I think there's, you know, we've got to encourage those listening. Don't let fear keep you from using these arts.
Right.
You aren't going to know until you try it. And then don't give up the first time, because probably, I think you guys would agree, the first time you try something, it's probably going to bomb. But you know what? I found that some of the best lessons that some of the kids have learned and remembered from me were those times that my object lesson totally bombed.
Yeah.
I had a thing I was doing that was supposed to catch on fire, or was supposed to explode. Actually, I had those little bomb bags things that you could buy at the toy store, because I wanted to keep it something simple. And I had like four of these things because I had a plan A, B, C, and D. Because you always learn to always have backups to your backups. And I broke the little vial inside this little baggie, and you know, it's supposed to blow, you know, get really big and then pop. For those of you that don't know what a little bomb bag is, I don't want the Secret Service coming after me or something. I'm building bombs. I'm really not. That's just what they're called. But it's supposed to make this little popping sound. Well, I threw it out there and I threw it on the floor, and everybody's watching with anticipation, and it just sat there.
Oh.
And it did nothing. And I had to walk over and tap it with my toe, and it didn't do anything. It just kind of deflated. So I'm like, never fear, guys. And I reach in my pack and I pull out a second one and I threw it. I went through four of those. And the one that worked was the one I did in rehearsal. But you know what? The kids remembered that, you know what? Sometimes things fail, but God is still awesome, because then I pulled out my bigger object lesson and lit up this barrel that shoots flames out, and they remembered that. They forgot about the little bomb bag things, and it was awesome. But it, you know, it just goes to show. But I think sometimes we, you know, we get afraid of failure. We get afraid of trying something new, or like you guys said, putting in the time for it, wanting to learn. But you know what? I think, you know, it's just like somebody standing in front of it with a puppet and going, well, I'm not a ventriloquist, so why should I stand up in front? People are going to see my mouth move. In fact, let me ask you guys, what would you say to somebody like that? We're going to go off script a little bit, but what would you say to somebody that they want to use a puppet and they're not a ventriloquist? What would you do?
I saw this guy speak at a camp a couple of years ago. And this guy did a ventriloquist routine. He had a little, I think it was a sheep puppet. It was a little thing. And he was the worst ventriloquist I've ever seen. And he knew it. He was hysterical. And he just embraced the fact that I'm not very good at this. And so, but, you know, this puppet was kind of all over. And that's the beauty of ventriloquism, is if you move right, people stop looking at your lips because they're enjoying the program. So if you're if you're like me and you're a little bit split-minded where you carry on conversations with yourself, put a puppet on your hand, work on ventriloquism. And I'm not excusing people who don't want to put any effort in. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is, don't let the, you don't have to be Terry Fader. You don't have to be the world's best ventriloquist, to entertain kids with it. And so, this last October, I was at a children's ministry event training thing. And one of the guys, Jamie, you know, Chris Pruitt from up in Minnesota, he did a talk on ventriloquism. And I went home, I practiced for a week, and the next week I brought out my ventriloquist soft body puppet that I've never used. And it was a huge hit. I'm not the world's best ventriloquist. I've done very little training. I've always been so afraid to do it in front of people that I never have. The kids were begging him to come back. And when he came back, I couldn't believe it, because it was a couple months later I used them again. They remembered the song I sang for his introduction, and they were singing it before he ever started. And I realized I didn't have to be the world's best ventriloquist to engage these kids and their memories. And so to that person, I would tell them that story, and I would say, get a puppet, learn a little bit about it so you know, some of the basics of ventriloquism, and then go do it. Because you're not on a talent show. You're not being judged. As much as you might feel like it at first, you're not. Kids are going to love it. And you know what? Adults will probably too. So to that, just do it.
Yeah, I don't know that I can add much more. I think part of it is just, you just go for it. You practice what you can for now so that, you know, you feel confident enough, but you just go for it. And yeah, like I said before, I think people would be surprised that kids want to see you engage with them using these different methods. And just like you said, Tom, it may totally bomb, but the kids are, you might think that it totally bombed, but the kids are probably just, they'll never forget it. And right. You might even be surprised at how much kids will want you to do that again, because you did something unique and different that you've never done. To add to the point of ventriloquism, if Carl Bastian's listening, he knows I've said this before. He's a terrible ventriloquist, but the kids love his character, Gus.
Yes.
And, you know, he's looking right at Gus, and you can see Carl's lips talking to Gus. But he's doing Gus as, how you doing, Carl? I can't do his character justice. But the kids love that character, and it's all about having developed that character. And again, you're pretending along with the kids. So for a moment, you're kind of taking them into this. You're taking them into your world of pretend, imagination. You're letting them believe for a moment. We're all believing for a moment and pretending that this puppet has a life, and we're giving him all these different attributes and unique scenarios that he's into. And we've got to help him out. And you'll be surprised at how quickly kids will just automatically, you know, you will endure those kids to you. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking with my son about this, who he's 17. He's wanting to do a little bit more in children's ministries. And we were talking about the fact that if you will take a half an hour every day and practice something, in 1 year's time, it will have been the equivalent of you doing that one thing as a full-time job for one full month. And I don't know about you, but if I were to spend an entire month every day coming into work 9 to 5 and working on, you name it, ventriloquism, gospel illusion, learning to juggle, you will become, you know, heads and tails beyond where anybody else is right now. We would never think about spending an entire month full time doing that. But if you'll take just a half an hour every day for a year, that's the equivalent. That's pretty mind blowing when you think about it.
And can we just, Jamie, I just want to say kudos to you. I know you've involved your children in your ministry and in ministry in general, and your son does a character, Mumbles, that
I love that character.
Shrugs.
Shrugs, that's right, Shrugs.
Yeah,
Shrugs. And anyway, my goodness, he's hysterical. And the thing, if you've never seen Shrugs, and you probably haven't, but this is the most simple character that someone could do who's just getting started, and they're like, I'm not a clown, and I don't have a good character. But Shrugs is a great kind of introductory kind of thing. And anyway, I say that to say to someone who's like, they don't know where to start, just to start simple. Sometimes the simplest things play really, really big. If you're looking in illusions, a change bag is something every children's leader needs a change bag, whether you use illusions or not. You need a change bag. It is one of the most simple tricks you'll ever learn. It's super customizable. You can do a million different things with it. And it's so easy to get started. And so you do not have to be a professional clown. You do not have to be the world's best juggler. Learn a cascade method. It takes some practice, but people all over the world know how to juggle. You can do it.
Start with silks instead of balls. You'll find it less frustration for sure.
Just saying to those people that are looking to get started, look up Jamie Doyle and Shrugs and see, I'm sure there's videos.
There you go.
Because you'll find that you do not have to be a professionally trained at these things. But as you do this or that or the other, you'll find certain things connect better with you. You might love juggling, or you might say, it's not really my thing. I know how to do it, but I don't really love it. But what I do love is this doing a character, whatever it is. I kind of do all of them and enjoy all of them. So, but illusions are probably my favorite. And so if you were to say, what's your favorite? I would say, I love doing illusions because they engage your audience the whole time. The anticipation of what's going to happen next keeps people engaged throughout your lesson. And so, I just say that to the person who's not gotten started yet. And they're saying, I understand the why we should do these. I don't get how to start. Start with the most simple thing. And then just find out what connects with your audience. Find out what connects with you. And then look, go on Google, go on YouTube, and start to search for tutorials. And you will find ways to get better and better until, half an hour a day, and you may be that professional. So, guys, what are your favorite method? What's your favorite method or tool that you're using?
Go ahead, Jamie.
Well, people automatically think of when I start talking about these kinds of things, the first thing people say is gospel illusion. That's a big thing for me. I enjoy doing it. I'm a regular contributor to the Fellowship of Christian Magicians. I've written a lot of material over the years. It's something that I love to do, and it's for me. It's kind of a passion. It's really kind of a sickness, really, when you think about it. I own a lot of stuff. I've acquired a lot of props and taken those things and redeveloped to fit what I'm doing. So I certainly do love gospel magic, but I also really love creative storytelling. So finding ways to creatively tell a story to a group of kids, whether it's using props or unique visuals or getting kids to help out and put on costume pieces, and they have to act it out in the moment. So I'm telling them what to do, and sometimes it's jazz storytelling. You don't know what these kids are going to do, so you have to ad lib and have fun with it. Those are the kinds of things that I really, really enjoy.
Cool. You actually stole mine, because I was like, I'm going to go in a direction because I do. I love illusion. I love storytelling. I like to use my own real life stories even and dramatize them a little bit to make a personal illustration, that kind of thing. I think, I'm going to default back to the puppets a little bit. And one of the things that I've told people is, all right, look, I'm not a ventriloquist, but I am a puppeteer. Mm-hmm. And so I have no problem letting my mouth move when I operate my puppets in front of kids. I also have some silent puppets because, one of the things that you can do, and honestly, it's absolutely hilarious. I have this rabbit. He's Fluff the Bunny and comes out of my magic hat. And the kids go wild with him every time I use him. I've been in a room mixed of adults, teenagers, and kids, and I'll never forget one of my sons was standing in the back of the room next to this lady, and she's laughing hysterically. And my son says, "What's so funny?" And she said, "I just think it's hilarious. There's a grown man standing up there with a bunny puppet on his hand, and this whole room is engaged in everything he's saying, and the rabbit hasn't said a cotton picking word. Because the rabbit whispers to me. Of course, I'm fluent in rabbitese. You know, 6 years of kindergarten, you learn that. And so, you know, the rabbit talks to me. I talk to the kids and translate. And it's this routine that I've done for years that I saw somebody else do and took it to my own level, and twisted it in my own mind. And I've used that. Preschoolers, it gets their attention. If I pull fluff out, man, they're dead quiet because they want to know what fluff's going to do. You know, one of my favorite little routines is, you know, I just have him, he usually helps me, you know, show what the theme of the day is or something, but usually fluff's pretty ornery. So he's always doing something, you know, but I've done this little, I mean, a silly little thing of just having him blow up a balloon. And then I have this little stick of dynamite. That's a wood piece of wood. And instead of blowing up a balloon, Fluff's going to really blow it up. And we talk about following the rules the right way. And, you know, that you can't blow up a balloon that way. You have to use your air and all. Anyway, so I love using the simplicity of a simple puppet that doesn't even have to talk. It's one of my favorite things because I can tell the story through the puppet. With the puppet usually being the ornery one, and the kids end up correcting the puppet. And so it's a simple thing, but it's one of my favorite tools to use, next to just simple object lessons. I mean, I love pulling ordinary objects and using them to tell stories. You know, I mean, that's what Jesus did. He pulled a little kid up and made him an object lesson. Yeah. So I think just using real objects that are everyday and holding, you know, holding something weird in your hand gets kids intrigued of why is he holding a wrench or whatever. I don't know. I can't think of an instant object lesson for a wrench in some ways, but I've pulled up all sorts of different objects and had them in my hand and used them as an introduction to a story. You know, the feeding of the 5,000, I actually went and bought a fish from the store and I had a loaf of bread and I walked out and I set this bag on the table and I pull out this stinky, smelly fish and dropped it on the table. And then I pulled out the loaf of bread and set it down on the table and I started talking, about being hungry and I need a sandwich. And I said, could you imagine being the only one in the room that's got some fish and some bread and everybody else is hungry and you're the only one that's got it? I said, could you imagine what it was like for that little kid who he's sitting on the hillside and his mom made him bring his lunch and he didn't really want to? And boom, he got asked, hey, do you have any food? And he offered it up and watched Jesus fill the bellies of all these people. You know, it's stuff like that. I think those are some of my favorite little methods that I like to use.
Yeah.
So as we're thinking about some of these, I mean, anybody else got any, I mean, is there anything else that you kind of like go to or you want to highlight for our listeners before we move on?
We covered a lot of it.
Yeah, we have. All right, cool. Then let's dive into this idea of when you're using some of your favorite methods. Just like I said, I just kind of dove right into this anyway. How I use an object lesson. What are some of the ways that you've used them recently? Or maybe you could give somebody an idea if they're thinking about using the creative arts to get started, because we kind of hinted about this a little earlier. How do you get started? What's something that somebody can do, you know, real simple? What are some of the easiest things that you guys would recommend them getting started in?
Well, I think that, you know, Jared mentioned earlier, just getting started with something very simple, checking online and finding tutorials and things to learn different methods. It is good. That's important. One item I was going to mention, and I didn't think about it till this very moment, but you may have in your church people that already know how to do some of these things, and they're just kind of hiding in the wings. They maybe at one point in time they did some of these things. They went to a conference way back when and bought some of those objects, some of those gospel illusion items, a puppet, whatever, and they started learning it, even used it in their Sunday school or in the children's ministries in some way, and they just haven't in years. They may have a way to help somebody start learning. It's just a matter of finding and seeking those people out. It means needing to ask the question, who's been involved in children's ministries in years past that, you know, they aren't doing it anymore. I just recently found out about a guy, you know, because we're new here. He is a science teacher in a high school. And a number of years ago, he did an entire presentation using science, using these science experiments where things were like, you know, things are exploding and catching on fire. And I think he meant to do all that on purpose. But I approached him and I said, hey, you know, I would love it if you would come back and do some of that. And he said, well, it's been years, but I think I could, you know, pull all those things out. And so then, you know, the next question I would have for him after he does it is, teach me about some of those things. I would love to know some other things that I could do for kids that I could use that to illustrate a point. And so that may be something where just approaching somebody that, you know, if they already know how to do it, you know, find, let them be your mentor for that time. And I think that's another great point. Find people that know how to do these things and get with them. You may be surprised at the number of people in your community, near you, or you find somebody that's within driving distance and you're just going to go spend the day with that person. And they know your agenda is show me how to do these things so that I can take this back and do it as well.
Okay. So let me ask you guys then. So somebody says, okay, I'm going to learn to use some object lessons, or I'm going to use some puppets, or I'm going to use some creative story. How often do you guys use stuff like this? I mean, do you use it every week? Give somebody some advice, because, you know, I think we all have some ideas of, you know, do you really want to do the same thing every week? But how often should they use this kind of stuff?
I think, first of all, we've covered a broad category by saying performing arts, where there are so many different types of things that we've talked about, even in this and probably some we haven't. I would say, first of all, make sure variety is a part of it. I wouldn't recommend doing an illusion every single week. But a general rule of thumb when it comes to a method is always leave them wanting more. For example, a couple of years ago, I do a summer, I would call it a kid's adventure. It's a kid's crusade style. So like an old kid's crusade, if anybody's, you know, younger people might not know those terms, but those that have been around a while, get
us old guys. So, mm-hmm. But anyway, here he goes again, Jamie.
We do. Hey, I'm in that category. So we do this kid's adventure and we do an illusion every night of the kid's adventure. And it's one of the methods we use to reinforce the Bible lesson for that night. And so anyway, I write my material with another guy that lives about an hour and a half away. And so we do the same program. And so we'd come up with this illusion and it was going to be part of it. And I don't remember exactly what it is, what it was, but it involved a scarf production. And then we talked about each of, but he had this great idea. He thought, well, I'm going to do this illusion to reveal this scarf and this illusion to produce this scarf and this illusion. And it, so he basically produced these from four or five different methods and then got to the big trick where whatever we did happened. And he said, man, it bombed, because by the time we got to the meat of the illusion, they'd seen so much, they were kind of over it. And so when I did it, I just did the one illusion and it played well. So scaling that from a week to week thing, leave your audience wanting more. Don't go to the point where they're like, okay, here we go. Another, he's going to do a ventriloquist again this week. Incorporate variety and don't overdo any one element. And if you have people in your church that can do some things, mix it up, let other people do the art, teach kids or teenagers. It's a great opportunity to involve them in ministry, because teach them a trick. And just by virtue of having a different person doing it, it's almost like it's a whole new element. Rather than Pastor Tom's doing another trick, it's, oh, it's Jenny from the youth ministry. And so I had my pastor do a trick once, just because it was one of those fooler tricks where it looks like he failed and then he ended up succeeding and played great because he never does illusions. And so I would say, as long as you're incorporating variety, you can do these things almost every week, but always leave them wanting more. Never use one so much that they're tired of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many, as Jared has mentioned, there's such a variety of different illustrated methods. Every week you're going to tell some kind of story, but there's a dozen different methods to use in order to tell a story. So so mix it up, have some fun with it. You don't have to do an illusion every week, but you do need to illustrate the Word of God in some way. So whether you're using puppetry, or you're going to use an illusion or an object lesson or a science thing, or, you know, I think there's some validity to when you do those multi-day outreaches like a Kids Crusade or VBS, and the kids are coming because you're going to pull out some extra bells and whistles. That's one thing. But, every week, you know, shake it up. Use a variety of different things every week.
And Jamie, I know that, you know, for you, I've watched some of your, I've followed you enough now that I know that you love to use a variety of the performing arts during your kids' programs and stuff. I'm just curious, because there's going to be people going, okay, I think I'd like to try some of this stuff. How am I going to learn? Where, you know, do I have to go? I mean, since we've already established that a lot of the conferences aren't teaching it, where are people going to learn some of these things? So, Jamie, what are some of your go-to sources? How would somebody learn? I mean, I guess let's try to hit like what we've talked about: puppets, juggling, illusion, storytelling. I think those are the big ones we've mentioned so far in this podcast. Obviously, we may have to do another episode. But where are some sources, resources that people can get a hold of, watch, read?
Sure. I think there's a handful of websites out there that are going to offer some product for sale. And that's something you need to be aware of. You're not only going to need to invest some time, you may have to invest some finances into learning how to do some of these things and acquiring the props to, say, do some gospel illusion. There certainly are many things that you can make yourself when it comes to some of these things. But there are those specialty items you're going to need to make an investment in. And so places like gospelmagic.com, which is, as you mentioned before, Tom, that's Doc Haley. Those are the products that he originally came up with and have been improved on over the years. So gospelmagic.com is a great place to go. LaughlinMagicStore.com, another great place. The Laughlin family has been developing gospel illusion and magic tricks for years. And, you know, both of these places, when you buy gospel magic or gospel illusion, they are ready to go. They have a script with it. They have basically what you're going to teach. So it makes it easy. You don't have to come up with everything yourself. You can also go to like creativemen.com, which is what One Way Street used to be, Creative Men. They've got puppets. They've got all kinds of unique and creative art type storytelling things, music, those kinds of things. Hey, if you go to jamiedoyle.com right now.
I was just going to say, you better say that.
I just remembered I left the special sale going on for the A.G. Kidman conference. If you want to go there, I have my latest lecture notes called Tricky Messages for Kids.
I'm going.
It's a PDF book. You download it. And within the book, there are live links to hidden YouTube videos of myself presenting the effect, teaching the effect, and then some other little things that you can use. It's all on using gospel illusion, that sort of thing. So I just remembered that's on my website. Like, if you go there, it's the first thing on there. I show two books. One is on altar calls and kid men, and then tricky messages for kids. But, you know, be willing to make the investment, and but also do some research. Go to your library. You're going to find a lot of amazing things just by looking up magic tricks, ventriloquism, in your local library.
That's good. I want to, Jamie, you said creativemen.com. It's M-I-N as in creative ministry, yes. Not yes. Creative men as in three creative men sitting at a table talking about.
That's right. M-I-N. That's right.
Good. That's good.
But I'm going to, while you're plugging your site, I'm going to plug mine, smalltownkidmen.com. Again, kidmen, M-I-N. But I'm just getting ready because I've really sensed this need and have been kicking an idea around. And I'm on the heels of launching a series of training videos that are very – the goal is to be as practical, overly practical, because there's so much theory in children's ministry, and I've bought into it, but that there's not a lot of practical how-tos. And so some of those videos are going to be use illusions, but not just in general, but very specific illusions or so juggling methods and things. So just if you want to jump over to my site and sign, subscribe, or just check it regularly, follow me on Twitter. I do have a Facebook page for Small Town Kid Men. However you want to stay in touch, because those things are going to be coming very, very soon. And if the goal here is to fill a need that isn't present, in my opinion. Check that out. Also, we've mentioned a few times a Fellowship of Christian Magicians, or FCM. It's a great organization that's been around a long time, and that has been among those ranks are some real powerhouse names. And when you get in that organization, you're going to learn from some of the best in the business, and they've been doing this a long time. So they've got a tremendous impact. So I would check them out as well. I guess those would be two big ones, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I would echo the Fellowship of Christian Magicians, because there you can learn about clowning, juggling, all that. I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, so you got to also understand Jamie's sale may end by the time you hear this, but don't be mad at Jamie for too long. But yeah, if he wants to leave it up for a little bit, but if you're listening to this podcast a few weeks after this, when it airs, just so you know. Really, I'm just going to add one more, because I think we've gotten a good list and I don't want to overwhelm people, but Barry Mitchell is a fabulous storyteller, but also does a lot of illusion magic, but it's a lot of stuff is so amazingly practical, easy to make yourself. He's even opened up a whole learning unit on his site where you can subscribe. There's a free area. There's a paid membership. But it is really, really good. And there's a number of others there. But I think that'll be great. We never even hit on balloons and those kind of things. There's so much more we could talk about. But we're out of time, unfortunately, for this episode of the KMC. So let me just wrap this up by each of you giving, how can somebody touch base with you? I mean, we know we've got jamiedoyle.com and smalltownkidmen.com, but how else can they touch base with you guys?
I'm on Twitter, Pastor Jared M. It's J-A-R-E-D, Pastor Jared M. And that's the best place to connect with me, because I'm the most likely to respond. Otherwise, smalltownkidmen.com or on Facebook, smalltownkidmen. Either there also. So I'm all over.
You can find me on Twitter, Jamie_Doyle. So that's @Jamie_Doyle. You can just probably search Twitter. You'll find me. Also on Facebook, just my regular profile. You just search Jamie Doyle. My actual Facebook is, if you go facebook.com/JamiesonDoyle, JamiesonDoyle. Doyle. That is my actual first name, is Jameson. A lot of people don't believe me when I tell them that.
You sound so professional.
I know. I was thinking about going with that as a performance name, just Jameson.
Yes. I love it.
Just Jameson. I like that. You need to do that.
I'm happy to connect with folks on Facebook. That's a good way to connect as well.
Yeah. And I'm PT Bump, and there's ptbump.com. So if you want to find me there, Pastor Tom Bump on Facebook as well. Again, guys, thanks for joining me. We're going to have to get you back on. There's so much more I would love to chat with you guys about. But I hope that if you've been listening to this, that you'll at least consider trying something. Be creative. I mean, Jesus himself used objects. He used, you know, stories and parables and all those kind of things to get people's attention, to connect the gospel to the heart and lives of people. And people are visual and they enjoy those kind of things. So don't write them off. Shoot, even pull out a flannel graph board.
Yes. Bring back the flannel graph, baby. I'm all about that one.
I still got it. And I have pulled them out on occasion and it freaks kids out. Also got to give a shout out to my buddy, Carl Bastian. If you haven't seen Toy Box Tales,
yes,
go watch a grown man play with little toys, doing silly voices and rocking it out.
Life changing.
It is. And you will be insanely jealous of his toy collection.
Yes.
So anyway, hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the KMC, and we'll look forward to joining you the next time real soon.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.